on the inside. Towards the outside of that is Living.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. This is Racing Across America, and I am Seth Merrow. So thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. Chilly Sunday morning here in the Capital Saratoga area, but it's that time of year. But there will be some nice racing this afternoon. We'll be able to watch vicariously some of the tracks down south and, of course, here in New York and whatnot. So looking forward to the racing today. But I wanted to alert everybody to pay attention to tomorrow as well, because Mahoning Valley, the highlight on their schedule, the Steel Valley Sprint, $250,000 up for grabs, 6 furlongs the trip. That's part of the card tomorrow, Monday, at Mahoning Valley, supported by a nice series of stakes races as well. So I thought we'd do a little preview of that this morning. And to do that, I invited on Matt Hook from Mahoning Valley. Matt, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Seth. Good morning to you.
Happy to have you on to, again, talk your big day down there. And before we do that, for folks who maybe don't normally pay attention to Mahoning and are going to play the undercard and whatnot, I pulled up Equibase stats on the human side of things. And still fairly early in your meet, but Moro Cedillo, if I'm pronouncing the first name correctly, a big lead in the jockeys race, 22, and then Luis Batista and Fernando Becerra both sitting with 11. So he has doubled their wins, which is impressive. And on the trainer side of things, I was happy to see our old friend Gary Johnson, who we used to have on the show regularly when he took a little break from training and he was on the contest circuit. In fact, I haven't seen Gary since he was up here playing the big contest at Saratoga a few years ago, but now back in the training game and doing very well atop the trainer standing. So again, for folks who are maybe going to play a little Mahoning tomorrow, give us a feeling of the human side of things.
Oh yeah, I mean, Mahoning Valley has some very good apprentice riders, and Morris Cedillo is one of those. We have three right now that are winning races, Yana Viles and Herman Terraza, but Morris Cedillo is winning at a pretty good clip. So apprentice riders tend to do good at Mahoning Valley here in the winter, and Morris Cedillo is proving that to be true. And he rides a lot for Gary Johnson. They go like hand in hand a little bit there. You know what I mean? So it's good to see. And Gary's a great guy, and he's a pretty sharp. You know, that contest circuit really. He I'm not going to say he learned a lot, but he's pretty sharp. He knows where to put his horses, where to enter them, and he makes hay doing that. So he's having a great meet, but that's to be expected. Gary's always up there when he's training.
Yeah, as I said, we used to have a regular morning weekday show, and we had Gary on handicapping some of the Ohio races each week for a while, so it was fun to have him on. But again, fun to see him back in the training game and right back to where he left things off, or as you say, maybe better now with a little bit of the handicapping skill tossed in. Again, before we get to tomorrow, do you have any kind of an update on what we might expect weather-wise tomorrow?
Well, it's expected to be pretty cold, but other than that, I think it's expected to be a pretty decent day. The track yesterday was pretty fast, so it looks like the track is in great shape. I think it's just going to be a little cold, but a perfect day for racing.
Very good. All right, let's take a look, a field of scheduled. We'll kind of start with the highlight and then go back and look at some of the other stakes on the card as well. But we'll start with the highlight. Again, $250,000 in the Steel Valley Sprint. People were paying attention last year. It was the inscrutable Baby Yoda who up here in the Saratoga area. We're all familiar with that horse off that 114 buyer up at Saratoga, and subsequently just has been all over the map with the talent. But Baby Yoda went off as the favorite last year. Didn't get it done as a hometown hero, Timeless Bounty, Got it done at 59-1 in the race last year. We'll see what happens with the 11-horse field this year. I pulled up a replay going back to Keeneland on October 14th. The number three is going to be Tejano Twist. I thought off of that race, Tejano Twist was very, very interesting. But Scaramouche comes in for a Guadalupe Preciado, and Irod Ortiz scheduled to ride Scaramouche. So that horse could be interesting as well. Hoist the Gold ran a good second last time to Gunite. And I think Gunite's been a lot of fun this year. Hoist the Gold being a three-year-old in here, as they're all three-year-olds, I should note. And again, that's why Baby Yoda was in last year. But it's an intriguing field. What are your thoughts on the Steel Valley Sprint?
Well, the Steel Valley Sprint traditionally has been a very tough race for favorites to win. It is not an easy spot. You talked about the local horse last year, Timeless Bounty, winning it. I can remember when Hartwood won it at 70-something to one. It can provide a huge price. It's not an easy spot for a favorite to come in. And not saying a favorite can't do it, but it's not somewhere I would go. And I expect a favorite to be Irad out there with Scaramouche. I mean, I'm not saying he can't win, but favorites, you know, this is going to be a wide-open race.
Yeah, what's attracting your attention? As I say, to me, Tejano Twist off that win at Keeneland, I think is interesting. It was a nice, fast win and comes in good form because of that. 9-2, the second choice on the morning line there? So likely to take third choice, I guess. Knock her down on the inside at 4-1 is the second choice. Oh, and Hoist the Gold is 7-2. So actually, we'll maybe get a little value on Tejano Twist. But what are you looking at?
Well, I think, you know, Knock Her Down, Tejano Twist, and Hoist the Gold, they're all very similar. They're running in two X's in Kentucky and running well. And I wouldn't be surprised if any of them run well in this race, you know, tomorrow. I think maybe Tejano Twist has the best style for our racetrack typically. Closers tend to do well. And it looks like Tejano Twist has that kind of style that might fit the oval. But I wouldn't be shocked if Knock Her Down or Hoist the Gold. They all kind of have similar form and similar talent and similar, you know, experiences. I wouldn't be surprised if any of those three win. You know, I think they're all alive.
What do you make of the Larry Ravelli horses? Both fairly lightly raced with four starts, and Golden Hornet comes in off a disappointing effort at Hawthorne, but a couple of wins in four career starts, and again, coming in for Hawthorne for the high-percentage Larry Ravelli. But Roger McQueen, when trainers do things like this, I always think, yeah, you got to take an extra look. Roger McQueen comes in, bullet work for Larry Ravelli at Hawthorne, but hasn't been seen in over a year. So Roger McQueen, again, just when quirky things like this come up, I always think you have to take an extra look.
I'm actually leaning right now towards Roger McQueen.
Okay.
Larry Ravelli has won this race in the past. So this, and I love trainer intent. I think it's such a huge thing in today's game. And, you know, Larry Ravelli has a pretty nice three-year-old here. He had options, right? He could have come back like in a eighth or end of the year at Hawthorne or something. You know, I mean, he could have found an easier spot to put this three-year-old. I mean, there's no question in my mind he could have found an easier spot. But it looks to me like they've been pointing for this race with this horse. I mean, he's been off for so long, as you indicated. I love the fact that he's entered in this race, and it just leads me to believe that Larry's been pointing for this race for a long time with this three-year-old. And like I said, he's won this race in the past, so he knows how to get it done. I think Roger McQueen is extremely dangerous. You know, he has a win in $125,000 stake at Ellis Park, so he has enough class, and I just think it's a very interesting entry, and I think it's I think he's coming in well-meant. It's not like they're shipping to Mahoning Valley just to get an out. You know, let's get an out so he'll be ready next time, because they could have done that anywhere.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, they get a shot at three-year-olds. It's Larry Ravelli, high-percentage guy, comes in with the bullet workout. Very intriguing. And I will say, before we shift away to some other races, given what the local guy did last year at the big price, I'm going to put a couple bucks on number eight, Volbeat.
Yeah, not only does he have Volbeat, but he has the two, Kentucky Hot Brown as well. He's got both of those horses. Now, Malcolm Franklin rode last year's winner, so Volbeat would kind of be the identical, like the repeat, the deja vu. But he does have the two in there. He has Kentucky Hot Brown and Volbeat, both 30-1 on the morning line. So, like, if he gets it done again, it'll be a big number again.
Yeah, and again, after last year where a local got it done, I'm going to have one or both of those, at least in the mix in some fashion, because you will certainly get paid if they get it done. All right, let's go back and kind of look at the undercard stakes in chronological order. The fifth race tomorrow at Mahoning is the First Lady. I pulled up an October 12th race from Thistledown. Number 5, Lionistic, is going to get it done here. And it's just been a pretty good career for this horse. 11 starts and 8 exacta finishes. Has plenty of early speed. Again, the last race this win we're looking at was against the State Breds. We'll be against the State Breds again tomorrow in the fifth. What are your thoughts in the First Lady?
Well, I think the one, R3 Angels, is the most talented filly in the race. But the distance is going to tilt to Lionistic. These 6 furlongs, R3 Angels wants to go further. I think you've narrowed it down to the one danger to R3 Angels. That's Lionistic. Now, I don't know. I have it as a two-horse race. I think the one, R3 Angels, is more talented. But I think the 4, Lionistic, is going to appreciate the shorter distance. So on the square here, I don't know how this is going to shake out. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of those two. If you're playing like that, the Buckeye Pick 6 or whatever, I don't think I would go past these two. I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of the two. Now, it's talent versus distance preferred. I usually go with talent, especially at Mahoning Valley. So the 1, R3 Angels, will probably be my pick, but there's no way I'm not using the 4, Lionistic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be very interested to see. As I say, I'm tilting towards Lionistic, but I'm going to be interested to see what the odds are as they go into the gate. R3 Angels is 7-5 on the morning line as the favorite. Lionistic at 2-1. Going to be interested to see where the betting public eventually winds up in there. 6th race on Monday. It's the Mahoning Distaff, $75,000 up for grabs, 6 furlongs the trip. I pulled up a replay in here. We're going to take a look at Powerless. I'm going over my chart here. I think I have the wrong replay for this one. So I will toss out Dancing at Midnight was a horse that kind of stood out to me. Oh, and that's what we're looking at. I was looking at the winner of this race. I pulled up a race where the horse I like ran second. So we will look at that Powerless from Hawthorne, October 22nd. It's Uver that's going to win. Uver's not in here. That's what had me confused. The horse that runs second. So keep your eyes on a number 3, Dancing at Midnight. And Uver, the horse that wins, 7 starts, 6 wins. So this is a pretty talented horse that won the race. So the nice close-up second-place finish from Dancing at Midnight attracted me in here. 5-2 on the morning line. So Tivis on the inside, I think, is also an interesting player coming out of a couple of nice second-place finishes. Fun race. What do you see in the Distaff?
Oh, I'm entirely with you. This is the kind of race that, again, is so wide open. I mean, I think Dancing at Midnight stands out on paper in the race. I mean, a similar race would be the West Virginia Secretary of State on August 6th at Mountaineer, where they had West Virginia Derby Day. Someone ran second to Command Strike, and Command Strike is no stranger to horses around here. Command Strike is a local that is a very tough filly to beat sprinting. So running second to her kind of gives me an indication of what Dancing at Midnight is. Dancing at Midnight's a decent, solid filly. Now, she's not unbeatable. I mean,
oop. Matt, do we have you? Oop, I think we lost Matt. So we will attempt to reconnect. And when we do, we will continue our discussion of the Distaff. And again, the Distaff, $75,000. These are fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, going 3/4 of a mile. And again, we were talking a little Dancing at Midnight. Matt, do we have you back?
To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
Oh, Matt may not have hung up. Sounds like maybe he hasn't realized that we are not there. So we will try once again and see if we can make a connection with Matt Hook. Mahoning Valley, again, big card tomorrow, Monday, with the Steel Valley Sprint, $250,000. But we're also discussing they have a nice undercard as well, four stakes on the undercard. So it should be a kind of a fun afternoon tomorrow at Mahoning Valley.
Hey, Seth.
Matt, do we have you back? There we go.
Yeah, you got me back. I don't know what happened. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. You were saying dancing at midnight is not invincible. So what are your alternatives?
I mean, then what do you go? You look at Deco Strong, who's second on the morning line at 3-1, coming out of Delaware, running well in some restricted races at Pimlico and Penn. I mean, that's Ready Seeker, 4-1, comes off a win at Mountaineer and a four life allowance. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if there are other alternatives, but I personally think I'm going to have to go pretty deep in the race. You talk about Tivis. Now, Tivis is an Ohio bred, so we know her pretty well at Mahoning Valley, and she likes Mahoning Valley Racecourse. She's 5-7. Over the oval. I just don't know if she's fast enough to win against these, but it's interesting that Irad Ortiz Jr. will ride her in this race. And I mean, that's kind of an interesting jockey move.
and I mentioned being intrigued to see what the odds are in one of the previous races. I'm going to be interested to see if the Irad factor is at work out of Mahoning the way it always is in New York, and if that 7-2 takes a little hit with Ortiz electing to jump on Tivis.
I mean, I can tell you one thing about Tivis. She's ran up, if you look at her form here, she lost to Emma Devil in that allowance race. She lost to Emma Devil in the Scarlet and Gray. She lost to Emma Devil in the Anjanora. So my question is, why isn't Emma Devil in this race, yeah. Right? I mean, apparently she's down in Florida taking a little time off. But I was really, the story of this race to me at least is the absence of Emma Devil. Probably the best Ohio-bred filly sprinter to ever exist, and it would have been really fun to have Emma Devil in this race, and so it's kind of a bittersweet kind of race for me with her absence being the most noticeable thing to me in here. But you know, I mean, I think the favorite dancer at midnight is the horse to beat, and she's probably going to be my pick in the race. I'm just not, you know, I'm not, it's not one of those I'm 100% in on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that race also a notable kicks off an all stakes pick four, so people should keep that in mind as well. And if Tivis does get it done, the Emma Devil people will be kicking themselves, you would have to think.
Yeah, I would think so. Absolutely.
Seventh race is the Youngstown Oaks. This is a fun race. This has a really nice
That's
looking
awesome.
Field in here. I pulled up a replay of You're So Cilia. Going to be the number six horse here at Keeneland in the middle of October, getting it done for the second career start, second win in a row, so on a little bit of a roll. Took a few starts to kind of figure it out, and now it's 2-for-2, including this last race at Keeneland. But Purity comes in off a couple of wins at Thistledown most recently. Those were in August and September, so been on the sidelines a little bit, but a nice Kentucky-bred daughter of violence. And I think Gunfire Gal, the John Service trainee coming in most recently from Parks, brings in Frankie Pennington. I think that one's intriguing as well. What are your thoughts in the Elks?
Well, I love what you just said, and I'm going to throw one more filly in there. I have a little – I mean, you got Gunfire Gal and you got Disco Ebo, both Pennsylvania breds, right, that are going to get support, the 7-9. I don't know if that Pennsylvania form will come to Mahoning Valley and, you know, and be effective or not. I'll talk about two that I like in this race. This might be my, you know, other than the big one, my favorite race. The four, My Kentucky Girl, went into Keeneland and dominated that 1X on October 29th. That's the kind of race, that style of race is the kind of race that wins here. I love the fact she's turning back a bit. I'm not a big bet turn back guy, typically, but at Mahoning Valley, the turn back works. It's like the only track where I would look for a turn back. So I like the 7 furlong to 6 furlong. I think My Kentucky Girl, I like her quite a bit. And she's probably going to be my best bet on the card, My Kentucky Girl. Now, the horse I'm going to play with her is the horse you mentioned, Purity. That race in Cleveland on September 7th, when she won by 3.5, that was a decent field. And not only did she win, but she set a track record that had been around for decades. And she's local. She's been training over the oval. Local does well at Mahoning Valley. And as evidenced by last year's Steel Valley Sprint, when Timeless Bounty won at 56-1. Purity's local. She's been over the track. She comes off a track record win, which, you know, you might not notice. I mean, it might not, you know, that's in Cleveland. She wasn't at Keeneland. She wasn't at Parks. She wasn't at Penn National. She wasn't at some of these other tracks, some of these horses, Gulfstream Park, Churchill. You know, she was at Thistledown. So I think that 10-1 might go up. And if that 10-1 goes up, I'm going to use her underneath for sure. But I like the My Kentucky Girl, and I like Purity as well.
I like that exactly, because I think we will get a price on Purity, and I like Purity as well. I'll toss out one other. As you were talking, I looked and checked the Steel Valley Sprint, and I'm going to double check again because I find it hard to believe. But there's this is kind of the second most interesting race, as you said. Because as you look down at the connections, Phil Sims with You're So Silly, Brad Cox, Girl with a Dream, Jonathan Wong, who is a high-percentage guy out in California but has come east in the past couple of months, east of the Mississippi, so to speak, and done very well. You mentioned Disco Ebo with Butchie Reed and John Service with Gunfire Gal. But the Brad Cox horse, who neither of us really mentioned, Girl with a Dream, Florent Giroux is named to ride, and as I say, I looked ahead to the Steel Valley Sprint. He's not riding in the big race, so I'm going to be interested to see if he shows up and jumps on the mount here, Girl with a Dream, and if so, I think that becomes an interesting little angle to maybe take a look at.
I mean, she's a graded stake winner, right? I mean, she's a graded stake winner coming off a layoff, and I was having this conversation just last night with actually my neighbor about Florent Giroux, whether he was coming or not, and I was saying, you know, like, I mean, this is a $100,000 race, and that's a lot to me. You know, that's a lot of money to me. But I don't know what's going on tomorrow, where else Florent Giroux might be. And then we started talking about, like, what happens if Florent Giroux isn't coming. And I looked at riders in the Steel Valley Sprint, like maybe they'll get Brian Hernandez to jump over, or Jareth Loveberry, or, you know, I mean. So I was, like, kind of going through the options here for Girl with a Dream. But maybe Florent Giroux shows up. I don't know. You know, but if he does, you have to think Girl with a Dream's pretty well met, right?
That's exactly right. The early scratches and changes will be worth taking a look at to see if Flojo shows up, because I think that may tell a little bit of a story in the Oaks. Fun race. And again, that immediately precedes the Steel Valley Sprint, which is going to be race number 8. And then the day... stakes action winds up in the 9th. It is the Cardinal, 6 furlongs, again, the trip. And in here, I pulled up a replay going back to Mahoning Valley, the Best of Ohio Sprint on October 29th. It'll be the number 3 More Stride getting it done there. Just a really nice Ohio bred. 20 lifetime starts, 11 wins, 4 seconds, including the one we're watching right now. 2-1 on the morning line. Dougie Dioro is certainly a very talented runner with plenty of early speed. 9 wins and 17 career starts. Altissimo, I think, has a little bit of potential in here. But More Stride, off of the one we just watched with the 94 Buyer, attracts my attention. What are your thoughts on the Cardinal?
Oh, I love this. This is my bread and butter, all right? This is what I do all. This is my daily, you know?
You're in the wheelhouse.
This is the wheelhouse right here. This is the wheelhouse. All right, there's 300 monster when it comes to sprinters. It's Dougie Dioro, who won on Best of Ohio Day at Belterra on June 3rd in the EBAPS Palacios Memorial. You got Morris Stride, who won on Best of Ohio Day at Mahoning Valley in the Ohio Sprint. You have Altissimo, who is a Buckeye millionaire. He's over $1 million in earnings, which is quite a feat for an Ohio bred, and he is always dangerous. So you have the rematch here from the Ohio Sprint. It's going to be one of the three. To crack those three, maybe the old-timer, the one Mo don't know, the 9-year-old, another Buckeye millionaire who's been sensational, maybe he can crack into that top three, but I don't think so. And to me, it's two. It's Dougie Dioro and Morris Stride. And I picked Dougie D in the Ohio Sprint, and More Stride beat me by a neck. So I'll probably stick with Dougie D and try to turn the tables on More Stride.
Yeah, because you don't want to be sitting on the sidelines if you made that call last time and they switched things up today. Mo, don't
right.
know who you mentioned. I will reiterate, our friend Gary Johnson training that one. So with the high percentage season so far out there for Gary. Maybe folks could take a look at that as well. Again, Matt, it is a fun card tomorrow. Always fun. The Steel Valley Sprint over the past few years has attracted some nice fields, and that this year as well. And as you say, there's maybe the potential for some prices also. So we appreciate the conversation. Wanted to tout it so people wouldn't be unaware of a big day on Monday at Mahoning Valley. So we wish you and everybody out there a lot of good luck. Appreciate your stopping by, and we'll talk again.
Hey, Seth, I really had a good time. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very good. Matt Hook from Mahoning Valley. Again, keep in mind tomorrow, really, really nice stakes card tomorrow at Mahoning, worth taking a look at. All right. Again, I did it yesterday. I'm doing it again today, and I have my eyes on the monitor up on the wall, and they haven't started yet. But we're going to wrap things up early today because NYRA, again, has an 11:50 post time. That means their pregame show will start 10:30, a few minutes. But I did have some news and notes I wanted to hit on before that. Before we wrap things up, first of all, yesterday we weren't in for OTB Live because we were on the road. We were at Uncle Sam Lane's in Troy. Shannon Donovan and I have been doing the road trips over the past couple of months. We've been up to Queensbury, Columbia Turnpike, Cleats out towards Utica for customer appreciation days. And we've gotten really nice response and nice crowds and whatnot. No exception yesterday at Uncle Sam Lane's in Troy. Again, if you're down in that area, great place to stop and play the races. Plenty of monitors. And you can bowl, too. Do a little bowl. They had a good crowd bowling yesterday. But enjoyed some pizza and some fried mozzarella and whatnot. It was a fun day. Thanks to Tom Walsh and the entire gang down there at Uncle Sam Lane's for taking care of us yesterday. And thanks to all the folks who showed up. And congratulations to the winner. I wasn't at last year's Fan Appreciation Day, but Shannon was there, Shannon Donovan, and he alerted me. And then I talked to the winner of yesterday's contest. At these Customer Appreciation Days, we also run a contest that you can win a betting voucher at the end of the day and maybe make a nice little score. And yesterday's winner, Jack Stapleton, 94 years old. I went up to talk to Jack, and Jack looks great and clearly bets great, as he has won the Fan Appreciation Day contest 2 years in a row at Uncle Sam Lane's in Troy. The brother of actress Maureen Stapleton, a Troy native, and Jack's still in town. And as I say, Jack looked great and had a fun conversation with him. Again, congratulations to him for putting two victories in a row, Customer Appreciation Day down at Uncle Sam Lane. So, again, had a lot of fun down there. All right, before we wrap it up, typically on Sundays, I'll go over some stakes action. Frankly, the stakes action yesterday around the country was kind of light, but there was one very notable performance. Now, we'll watch the whole race with the call, and I'll come back and give my visually very impressive. I'm not quite sure how to rate it yet, but we'll take a look. This is from Del Mar yesterday. It is the Desi Arnaz for two-year-old fillies. Keep your eye on the back of the pack early. Number one, Just Eek. Victor Espinoza on board for John Sheriffs. This was her third career start. She did virtually what you're going to see here in her career debut, where she was back very early and watched the performance when we see the replay. Subsequently ran third in the Chandelier at Santa Anita. So now came back, tried to rebound off of that little bit of a disappointment last time at Santa Anita. And so we will again watch the Desi Arnaz. And as they say, Just Eek, the number one horse. So look for that chicklet. Look for her at the back of the pack early. We'll take a look at yesterday's Desi Arnaz, and then I'll come back and give some thoughts.
They're off in the Desi Arnaz. Just Eek was away at the back of the field, and it is Daddy Classy Dill, Smoke 'em for You, and between those two is Blast Touch. Here comes Parody to join the fray from the inside and now take the lead as they leave the chute. Then it's Naughty Lottie hunting Coco, and in her late running style, Just Eek is far behind early on here. She's given them a 12-length head start. Up the backstretch, 22:04 for the opening quarter mile. Paradis the leader. Naughty Lottie a length and a half behind. Running in second. Hunting Coco comes up the rail third. Blessed Touch is fourth on the outside. Smoke'em for You is right alongside of Daddy Classy Dill. And Justique is still last, and now she's got 10 lengths to make up and is beginning to pick up her stride. And Justique is catching up quickly now. She's going up on the outside of horses, picking them off one by one on the far turn. Meanwhile, it's Paradis in front. Blessed Touch on the outside. Between those two, Naughty Lottie. In behind them, Hunting Coco. Justique is up to fifth. She's had a wide trip throughout. She continues to gain as they come to the top of the stretch. Blessed Touch, Justique on the outside now goes on by. She was far behind on the backstretch. She's going to be far in front at the wire. Justique, super impressive in the Desi Arnaz. Eased up by 2.5. Blessed Touch was second, and that was Naughty Lottie and Paradis.
And our friend Larry Coleman's with the call, and I think it was on Twitter I saw it. I read some articles, it may have been in one of, but I think Larry tweeted out, it's always fun to call those races where horses come from out of the clouds, and that was clearly the case yesterday. Justique, a daughter of Justify. She has a sibling that you may remember from fairly recently, a sibling called Motown that was second in his career debut, won his second career start, and in his third career start, won the 2016 Remsen. So again, Motown, a sibling to Justique, showed some early talent as well. Motown eventually went on to win the 2017 Hollywood Derby at Del Mar on the turf. So you would think, given that, Justique maybe has the potential to turf a little bit later in the career if they want to go in that direction. Now, the game plan, obviously, with a nice two-year-old filly is Kentucky Oaks. But, and given that, and as I say, that was visually stunning and impressive. But folks on Twitter are like, Zenyatta-like, which, via the eyeball, yes, way in the back of the pack and swept by the field. I have not yet seen a buyer figure, but Brad Free, in his follow-up to the race in his column, I'm quoting here now, Brad Free says, the final time was a modest 123.41, unquote. And I think that's fair. The early fractions, very legit, 22 and change, 45 and change. For Southern California, those are, I don't know whether they're eye-popping, but they're certainly legit. My thing is, when you see a race like this where a horse just goes by them like they're standing still, I always wonder what the rest of the field is like. Now, she has done it twice. And as I say, I haven't seen a buyer for yesterday yet. But in a 5.5 furlong race to start her career where she did much the same thing, she wound up with a buyer of 72. Which isn't bad, but it's not eye-popping. So she's now had a couple of visually impressive performances. And again, with the 123 and change, I'm going to be interested to see what the buyer is. It's also notable, excuse me, yesterday's race was 7 furlongs. The impressive career debut was 5.5. Her only dud, the third place finish in the Chandelier at Santa Anita, was 1.16. Now, that said, she came out of her debut and got a little bit sick and so had to miss a stakes race at Del Mar, instead going to the Chandelier. So maybe, you know, was that affected her schedule and affected the performance in the Chandelier. Clearly, when you have a horse this talented, there's the Kentucky Oaks that you're thinking about. They will try two turns again. So the upshot of what I'm saying is I am not denying those two races we've seen for her so far, the Maiden Breaker and yesterday, very impressive for Justique. I'm just not totally sold yet, particularly I want to see another one around two turns and see what we have. But certainly what we saw yesterday says it's a fun horse worth kind of paying attention to and keeping our eyes on. Justique yesterday in the Desi Arnaz. All right, oh, looks like they're going through scratches and changes at Naira, so I will wrap it up. For Racing Across America on this Sunday morning, send you the pregame show on this Sunday down in New York, 11:50 post time at Aqueduct. We'll throw a little Churchill into the mix, and then as usual on a Sunday, I'll pop up the PPs and take a look at some Saratoga harness for today as well. All of that coming up a little bit later on OTB Live. Don't forget, a Sunday means you can come here to the Clubhouse Racebook and watch all the racing and all the football action as well. NFL Sundays throughout the season here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. So maybe I'll see some of you out in front a little bit later on. Otherwise, I'll see all of you here in about an hour. We'll kick off OTB Live at the 11:50 post time on this Sunday afternoon. Seth Merrow in the studio, wrapping up Racing Across America for Sunday morning. But we'll be back Sunday afternoon for OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.